So little Billy, he was saving his money like a lot of kids do. He had a special thing that he had his eye on. It was a new 10-speed bike. So he would save his allowance, do a few odd jobs. He'd take those nickels and dimes and quarters, he put them all in his piggy bank, waiting for that day when he could go to the store and pick out the bike that he'd been dreaming of for years. And every night he would kneel down there by his bed and he would pray to the Lord, "Lord, help me to save enough money for that bike." And then he'd continue and he'd say, and "please, Lord, don't let the ice cream man come down the street again tomorrow," right? Temptation. We all have it. Businessman, a little overweight, wanted to shed a few excess pounds, decided he'd change not only his diet, but his routine, get rid of the temptation. You see, there was this bakery, favorite bakery, he would drive by it every morning on his way to work, so he changed his route. Till one day, unexpectedly, he shows up at work with this huge coffee cake. And everyone kind of scolds him and saying, "What are you doing, man?" And he said, "Well, I don't think it was an accident. I took a different route, and there was this bakery, and right in the window, I mean, the amazing coffee cake, all these goodies, and I thought, well, this is divine intervention, that I drove by this particular bakery, and so I prayed, Lord, if it is your will, please let there be an open parking spot right in front." And sure enough, the eighth time around the block, there it was. Temptation. We joke about it. We make fun of the devil. You know, he's a little guy with the red suit, the pitchfork, and the pointy tail. We use him as an excuse a lot. You know, the devil made me do it. But we need to understand that this is something that, as Christians, we ought to take very, very seriously. Indeed, as we heard earlier, we're praying for people who may be in the wilderness of temptation. And we've been there as well. Temptation, then, is that wedge, just like in physics, where you have a little thin, sharp object, and if it can get just started underneath something, you can pry it apart. It doesn't really matter, you know, how hard the stone is or how tough the wood is. If that little wedge gets in there with enough force, you can pry it apart. And that's exactly what the devil and the world and even our own flesh attempts to do. It's a wedge that seeks to drive us apart from God. Now, we heard in our gospel for today a very familiar story of Jesus going into the wilderness. Now, we need to understand that he was led into the Spirit, into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. It was for a purpose. It was a test. And is he going to pass? And of course, he does with flying colors. But sometimes we get the idea that only three temptations came to Jesus. And then we have them listed in our gospel. But it was far more than that. He's out there for 40 days. In the last 40 days, have you only had three temptations, anybody? Probably not. It's a whole slew of them, isn't it? It's constant, and so it was with Jesus, and not only in those 40 days, but through his entire ministry, his entire life. It wasn't just the devil saying that if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down and let the angels protect you. If you are the Son of God, take these stones because you're hungry. Turn them into bread. It's throughout the Pharisees. If you're really the Messiah, how about a miracle? The centurion at the cross, if you're really the Son of God, come on down. His disciples, if you're really the Son of God, hey, let's overthrow the Romans because they're really a pain in the neck. And in every case, Jesus overcomes the temptation and he wins the victory. Now, we're not Jesus, but we can learn from him. So this morning, I want to spend just a few minutes talking about what we can learn from Jesus about dealing with temptation in our humanness. Because Jesus, of course, is God as well. So what does he do as a human? He prays. Remember in the garden? It is after the Passover. He's in the upper room with the disciples. He's washed their feet. They've had their meal together. He tells Peter, oh, by the way, you're going to deny me three times. And Judas, you will betray me. And then he says, it's time. My time has come. And they go out into the garden. And before there is the arrest, he tells his three closest friends, pray with me. Kind of like these prayer cards here. Pray with me. And what do they all do? It must have been daylight savings time. I don't know. They all fell asleep. They were tired. He says, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And it means a whole lot more than just don't fall asleep during the sermon. He's saying don't fall into temptation because when you do repeatedly, you may fall away from the faith. But that's what happens. At least they fall into temptation again. He goes away again. He says, pray with me, and they fall asleep again. He goes away again, and they fall asleep again. We need to pray the prayer that Luther suggests. Because it's not just the devil, but it's the world, and it's our flesh. Pray that God would guard and keep us so that all these things, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Because that is the intention of evil. Now, M. Scott Peck, in his classic book, The Road Less Traveled, talks about evil. Somebody spell the word for me. Evil, just four little letters. What is it? E-B-I-L. Now backwards, what is E-B-I-L backwards? Live, live, live. That's what all these things are intending to do, to separate you not only from God, but from the life that he intends for you. In John 10:10, what does Jesus say? I have come that you may have life and have it to the full, the abundant life. In the King James, if you will. What's the abundant life? It's not just physicality. It's not just living to a ripe old age. It's having all the blessings that God intends. And not just physical or material, but spiritual. Forgiveness. We always say, in this meal we have forgiveness, new life, a better life, the abundant life, eternal life, and salvation. And so we need to continually pray. And then, number two, acknowledge the power of the devil. Again, as I said earlier, we are not God. We're not Jesus. We can learn from him, but we don't have the same power. In fact, left to our own devices, we are going to lose so many of these battles. Now, there is an antidote, there is a treatment, there is a remedy, of course, to sin and temptation, and that is Jesus Christ. And so, let's fill ourselves with him. Earlier, I talked about the physics of a wedge. Well, there's another powerful force described in the mechanical world and physics, and that's a vacuum. What does a vacuum do? It's filled with whatever is near it. And so examine your life and see who and what is around you. Who are your best friends? What is their influence? What are you reading? What are you watching? What places do you go? Because where there is a vacuum, you will be filled. Instead of those evil influences, if there are any, we fill our lives, our hearts, our spirits instead with Jesus Christ, with His Word, with His life, with His service, and with His power. And so if we give God room right here in our heart, and He fills up our heart, there will be little room left for temptation. Earlier I talked a little bit about Martin Luther and his prayer. Martin Luther in his day was kind of like Ann Landers. You know Ann Landers, where you write to for the remedy to your problems. Well, in his day, especially his students there at the University of Wittenberg would write to Martin Luther and they would say, Martin, it looks like you are not ever tempted to sin. We don't see you following the ways of the world. You know, how do you do that? And he was very honest, and he says, hey, I'm tempted just like you. In fact, there are epic instances in his writing where he had struggles with the devil, very much like our Lord did in the wilderness. And this is what he did. This is what he said. It's right here in your notes. The next time, Luther said, the next time that you are tempted by the devil or the world, or even your own sinfulness, say, go away. This place, my heart, my soul, my spirit, it's already occupied. So, devil, go back where you came from, for Jesus Christ is here. There's no room for you. When we call on the name of the Lord, not only will we be saved for eternal life, but we are also rescued from the devil himself. God is faithful. He hears our prayers. And He will strengthen us to resist when we need it. It is in His power that we can resist and not in our own. You know, history tells us, in your experience, you know this as well, that when you do pray for that strength, it doesn't always immediately come, does it? You ever have times where you know you shouldn't be doing something, you need the strength, you don't have it, and you pray, and you still fall into the temptation? Is that just me? When you confess this morning, and we do this every Sunday, we take a little moment of silence for reflection and contemplation. Don't raise your hand now. I'll raise mine because it's true of me. Do you ever find yourself confessing the same thing you did last week, anybody? Yeah. So the strength doesn't always come instantly. You may have heard the name Augustine, the great saint. Had a huge influence on Martin Luther. A lot of his works flow from the work of Augustine. What you may not know is that Augustine had a real struggle with the Christian faith. Now, his mother, Monica, she was a Christian, and she tried to raise Augustine in the faith, but he constantly rebelled. And he led a terrible life. Go Google it, and you'll see some of the terrible things that he did. Finally, he was going to go away. He was going to go away to Rome, to Italy, where he could indulge in all kinds of sin. And Monica, his mother, constantly prayed for him that he would change his heart, that he would change his life, that God would intervene. And she prayed that he would not get on the ship to go to Rome. And even as she's praying, Augustine is sailing away. And she thought she had lost him forever. But then God did a miracle. There was a preacher there in Rome by the name of Ambrose, and Augustine learned from him, and he followed him. And through the gospel of Jesus, through the good news of a God who loved him, his heart was changed. And he not only became a believer, but he became a great instrument for the preaching of the gospel. Sometimes the ultimate temptation is to order God around in our prayers like Monica's mother did, and to prescribe for him the way that things ought to occur. Sometimes our temptation is to think that we care more about the people around us than God does. Sometimes our temptation is to think we know better than God does, or that we know the future better than he does. The truth is, we are going to fail from time to time. That's why we confess every Sunday. But the good news is that he will forgive us when we do fail. You see, the same strength, the same power that God gives us to resist is also available to us to forgive us when we mess up. And so I want to end on this. We may lose a battle. We're not going to go undefeated like the Miami Dolphins, and even then they lost the next year, right? We're going to have seasons where we fail time and time and time again. But the good news is, though, even though we may lose a battle, Jesus Christ has won the war. He said on the cross, "It is finished." And that didn't mean that he was just dying. It meant that he had defeated the devil completely and for all time. And so the next time that you are tempted by evil, say, "Go away. This place, this heart, this soul, this life, it's occupied. Devil, go back from where you came from. For Jesus Christ is here, and Jesus Christ, my friend, is undefeated." Amen? Amen.